Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, mediumship and spirituality with a Boston attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by Spirit Messenger Nicole Quinn. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll enjoy the show. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. It's Memorial Day, and I hope everyone's having a great holiday weekend out there. Welcome to the Confessions of a Spirit Messenger show. I'm glad to be here, and I hope that everyone that's joining me today is open and ready for some new information, because I've been very busy with some meditation, trying to get some answers, because my spirit guides are... they've been pushing me for quite some time, and of course, you have to do what you have to do. This is life. This is human living. This is the human condition. We have things we have to take care of, you know? We got the laundry. We got the jobs. We got all that stuff. So you have to remember, if you're into this stuff, that you need to take care of your spirit life, and you need to take care of your human life. So I did take a little bit of a break so I could do, you know, some work with my business and... just get some things taken care of that I had been neglecting for a while. And, of course, my spirit guides are ready and waiting for me to finally come back and acknowledge them, because really when it comes to spirit, they just want us to know they're there. And that's a guide, that's your loved ones, that's whoever. The other side has a lot more than we realize, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today, too. So... thanks for coming, and if you're going to be listening on the in the archives, thank you for coming and spending some time with me so that we can all evolve together as a planet. My big thing is that I'm not here to, you know, inflate myself or, you know, tell you guys all how great I am, because we're all the same on the same soul level. We're all the same. We're just souls on a journey. But what I do believe is that my job is to try to help people get to that point where they realize this. So that's a lot of what is going to go into today's show. So with that, let me just kind of start by saying, okay, so people ask me, you know, what I would call myself. I really don't know, to be honest with you. I am one of these people that really hates labels. I don't like definitions. I don't like to be told I'm something, because then I feel like that puts a limitation on what I can do. Therefore, you know, I call myself a messenger. Messages can come from any place, they can come from anyone, and anyone can be a messenger. And I feel like that term offers me the freedom, and it makes me feel like I can breathe. When I do some work with people and I tell them, you know, I do mediumship, I try to say I do mediumship rather than saying I'm a medium, because then if I say that, it basically, like I said, restricts me. So what is the whole point of all of this? Like, what is the point of mediumship? Why are there so many people here that can do this? Is it real? Yes, it is definitely real. Is everyone that is doing it genuine? Well, unfortunately, no. But I think that most of us can tell. And if we open up our hearts while we're listening to the words that we're receiving from people who are trying to give us messages, we can tell which ones are real, and we can tell which ones are coming from the place that we call the ego. So, yes, I can connect with the other side, but that's not all that I can do. I do healing work, and I do a lot of other kinds of connecting to beings that are out there. So what was the purpose of giving us this gift? Why do people have this gift? Well, I believe that most of it has to do with showing us that life is everlasting, and that we need to realize this. This is something that we've been programmed to think is not true. So here's what basically my conversation with my guides entailed. And it was pretty lengthy, but I'm going to try to condense it and make sense. I write this stuff down while I'm talking to them, because if I don't remember half of what they tell me. And later on when I read it, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So basically, we have created a reality here on Earth. We have governments, we have, you know, regulated industries, we have property. This is the reality that we've constructed here. It's a physical reality. For many, many years now, you know, people have known something else exists besides this reality, but we weren't sure how to reach it. People like me are the reason why you're able to know this, because over the years, there have been people who have been able to contact people on the other side, show a little bit of proof that, yes, there is something else there. But because we create this reality and it becomes our sense of certainty, it becomes what makes us feel safe in the world, when someone comes along and says something contrary to it, it's very jarring. And it gets people very upset. There's a lot of passion involved with this. I mean, just ask someone on the street, do you believe in God? And I guarantee you, if you ask 10 different people, depending on where you are, you might get 10 different answers. So this is something that has gradually been coming all, you know, through history, really. Back in the day, even, you know, the days of the ancient Egyptians, this was part of their life. And then, you know, humans like to have that part of us we call the ego. That's where this comes in. The ego is the thing that it keeps us grounded in this world. But when I asked my spirit guides about the ego and the purpose of it, what I got for an answer was very interesting. I didn't expect it, and I don't know that I can entirely explain it, but I can only relay what they've told me, which is that the ego part of us is the part of us that is most like God. Now, does that challenge everything that you've ever heard? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've been told over and over again by, you know, whoever, whatever books and people that we've listened to, that the ego is the part of us that we need to override. The ego is the part of us that tells us things that we shouldn't believe. And the ego is the part of us that we need to destroy. I've never agreed with that, but I've never had words to say why, and I've never been able to kind of verbalize that. Well, when they told me and I asked about the ego and they said, it's the part of us that's most like God, I was kind of speechless. And I had to ask, what does that really mean? I mean, it actually challenges a lot of things that I've been told, not by the guides, but by people here. And they said, the ego is the part of us that wishes to create. Okay, this is really important because we need to start shifting our belief systems. And this is going to challenge you. And if you're way on the other side of the fence on this, I apologize for what this might cause within your belief system. But keep an open mind, entertain the fact that something else might be out there besides what you already know, because the universe is infinite. So just let this spin be something that you kind of consider. The ego is the part of us that wants to create. And we do. Look at what we've done. We've created machines. We've created systems of, production of crops. We create. That's what we do. Different places to live. We construct. Even science. Science is creation, and that's where the religion and the science gets muddled because, and this is the whole point of this discussion, ego is the part of us that creates, but it's a disconnected part of us because when we come here, the connections that we have, although they are still there, we're ignorant of. And ignorance doesn't mean that we're stupid. Ignorance means we don't have the knowledge of it. So therefore, we do have all these connections, but we come here, and this is part of the exercise of being here, is to not realize we have those connections. So as humans, as these separate little entities and with our own egos, we go around and we think, you know, I'm the God of my world. I'm going to go and I'm going to create this. This is needed, therefore I'm going to create that. In and of itself, it's not a horrible thing. The flaw, and where the mediumship stuff comes in, is you create these things in a box because we don't have knowledge of everything. We don't have that access right at our fingertips, what we're going to do, how it's going to affect everything else in the entire kingdom of Earth, in the entire reality that we live in, and how it affects the atmosphere. I mean, we don't have that. That's why they say hindsight's 2020. Hello, look at all the pollution we have. We thought we were doing something good. Hey, we can use this substance, and it'll help us make these things. No one thought about how it was going to destroy the ozone layer, okay? This is what I'm talking about. So the fact that we're flawed is just something we're going to have to realize, and it doesn't mean that we have to strive for perfection. We need to actually recognize our flaws and see them as something beautiful that we came here to experience, because we can't experience this in spirit. Spirit, when you're in spirit, you have an awareness that you don't have as a human being. Now, when it comes to the mediumship stuff and the knowledge of the other side, all the spiritual work, slowly over time, people like me have come along to try to help heal the ego by letting it know there is more out there, okay? And to heal all of us, because we need to understand that we need to reconnect to everything that's out there, because it is there. We just don't have the knowledge of it. And because our human brains are so threatened by anything that we feel like we're not going to have control if we're wrong about something, and it just shakes our whole sense of certainty, this is why it's been such a difficult journey, although it is coming to that pivotal point in 2012, which is when the Mayans were doing the calendar, they weren't thinking about it in terms of day, time, space. It wasn't like that. It was a cycle of man. It was something we were going to be moving through for a specific period of time, and then another period would you know, come along right after that. Time isn't going to end. So for all those doomsday people out there, if you want to be scared and you want to be, you know, shake other people up because it makes you feel secure if they get scared too, because now you know you're right, just think about that. There's more things, there's things that are more important than being right. And the truth, the real truth is out there. You know, it sounds a little X-Files, but the truth really is out there. And it's our job to basically be on a quest for the truth and not to take in everything, you know, as gospel, even if somebody that we respect says it. Because a lot of people have agendas. They have other people behind them that have put them in a place of power, and those agendas are going to have to be what comes through the person you respect and admire. Once you start to see things as a series of connections, your world will change, because it is. And even though we have a limited reality here, it is still full of just connections. Everything is connected. So let me just go back. I actually have to read some of what was channeled about this, because it was just amazing. Okay, so the need for the ego to create, that's because it's the part of us that is most like God. God seeks to create. Now, the one wild card is, yes, that we're disconnected. And one of the things about that is that when you're disconnected, it's very difficult to see the perfection and creation that already exists, because we can't see how what affects everything else. Okay, so let's see. Oh, this was amazing. This was my guides have me, they like to challenge me. You know, it's not just about here's a bunch of information. The perfection of creation is a concept that we don't really get. Some people get it, but a lot of people don't get it. It's like, do you need to sit there and focus when you get a cut on your leg to make it, to tell your body what to do so that it heals? Absolutely not. It has its own intelligence. That intelligence is God. Do you have to sit there and think about how to create a baby? Well, maybe some people think about the process, but, you know, the actual merging of the cells, how they arrange themselves into, you know, molecules that form a human being. Absolutely not. You know why? God doesn't need us to do that. It's already an intelligence that exists. Trees don't need someone to tell them to pollinate. It happens, because that's the way that life works. Everything that was built into creation is there for a reason, and it's there for a purpose. So anything that happens as a result, right now we've got a lot of these natural disasters. People are like really bad with allergies. We can't blame the trees for pollinating, okay? How many trees have we killed off? They realize that they need to do that. It's an innate thing that's in their makeup as a perfect creation of God, okay? I don't know how else to say that. I see it so clearly that it sometimes frustrates me, and I also, because I'm a very visual person, I tend to be thinking in pictures and thinking everyone else can see my pictures, which is a problem, because everyone can't see them. So the perfection of creation, God does not need us to get in there and do that stuff. We're not necessary. Even when it comes to healing, the reconnective healing, people are like, well, what do? How does it work? To be honest, I don't know how it works, but I know that you already know how to heal, because it's built within you. All of us have that ability. Me stepping into the equation with the frequencies that I have are just a way of my frequencies transferring to you and helping you remember that you already can do this by yourself. I don't actually heal. You heal yourself. I just kind of step in and facilitate and become the observer. There's a lot of stuff out there on, you know, the observer, the ultimate observer. If you've ever seen What the Bleep Do We Know? You know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, I highly recommend you go out and finding it. And if you don't have, you know, a membership to something, you can probably find it at your local library. It's literally called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it talks about, there's actually an experiment on there where scientists were trying to study something about molecules and the behavior of them. And when people watched, or when there was an observer of the experiment, there was one outcome. When no one was watching, there was another. So you need to just take a look at that, because it'll blow your mind. It blew my mind. It blew my mind. The ego part of us is not something that needs to be thrown away. But the desire to be like God is one that's misunderstood. God's not arrogant, and he doesn't require praise for the creations that are here. But when we do the creating here, we want to be recognized, you know? And so it's a lesson to see the responsibility that lies in being a creator, to be a person that goes out and creates, even medical stuff, pharmacology. The compounds that we create, I don't think we really understand the other, I mean, they wouldn't have side effects if we really understood how they affected the whole body. We just see one tiny little window that needs to be, or we think needs to be corrected. We create something chemical that we think will interact and make the outcome that we desire, and then we want to know why everybody's sick. You know, it's really kind of a, I don't know, it's a hard thing to get when you've been taught this is the way for a long time, and it's time that we started changing our minds. Let me go back and see if there's anything else in here that I want to mention. This was like a really, really long session. Oh, okay, this is the other part. So the topic of the show is mediumship and ego, and I'm going somewhere with this. It's all intertwined. So the part about mediums coming along to help us see that everything's all interconnected, this is part of the scheme. This is part of God's creation. We're not accidents, okay? So what about the ego's effect on the mediums that are supposed to be coming here to do this thing and be servants of God and try to help everybody reconnect and ascend and sort of raise themselves up to that vibrational level where we can actually feel, know, see, have that awareness, that expanded awareness that there is more? Well, the psychics don't have it all right either. This is what they told me explicitly. They don't see past their own egos. Not all of them. Many of them don't see past their own egos. The fact that we're human is something that interferes with the stuff that we get from spirit. And it's a natural process as well. If you make it all about yourself, you're no longer being the servant of God that you came here to be. So if you find yourself with the psychic awareness, or you're actually a professional working medium, you know what I'm talking about. There can be times when it's very conflicting, and walking that line is really not an easy thing to do. But the whole process of mediumship isn't about giving a few people secret knowledge, and it's not about making a few people special. It's serious business about the path of the planet and the path of the soul and the journey of being human. And we're all supposed to be evolving. So if there is a person around you that you know has psychic ability, think about them for a second and how it is that they operate, because that's going to give you a clue as to whether or not they're coming from the right place. You kind of need to think about that. I'm going to go see this person, and they're going to be a person that does mediumship, but what kind of medium are they? Are they coming from the right place? If it's going to be a message of doomsday, I've never gotten anything like that. And if I did, I've been very compassionate with people in terms of delivering the message. If you go to someone who just gives you these big wide-eyed answers that seem really scary and make you fearful, I would go in the other direction, honestly. It doesn't have to be that way. I've worked with other people who are also, you know, on some sort of psychic spectrum of either mediums, channels, tarot readers, intuitives, whatever they want to call themselves. And there is a distinct difference between all of us depending on where we come from in the process. Their vibrational level of the person is what's going to attract, you know. So if a person is sort of negative, or, and I don't mean negative like, oh, they had a bad day and they called and they complained for an hour. Everyone does that. It's called life. It's called processing our emotions. I'm talking about somebody who always sees the bad in everyone, or, you know, just is constantly walking around with a little black rain cloud over their head. These are not people you're going to want to get a reading from. Or if they are, you're going to see right away that what they're bringing through is very closely related to how they are as a person. So people that are reputable, people that are ethical, people that are operating from a place of a high vibration, yes, they also do have an ego, but the ego is a consort of spirit. They work together. And when you can get those two sides to communicate, I call it the process of integration. I feel like all of our parts need to be integrated. And when they're all aware of one another, no one fights one another anymore. I think that is a huge golden nugget that we can all take and do something with. So the way that spirit put that to me that made me think was the perfection of creation. And they said, what would happen? This is crazy. What would happen if the sun had an ego? You know, the sun. Would that mean that it would fight to, you know, never have night come? Would the moon have a problem with that? You know, would it decide, hey, I have a lot of power and I can make things hot. I think I'm going to travel to one side of the world and do this and make it real hot there and boil the water? Mm-mm. And the reason for that is because human beings are gifted with the ego. And it's a privilege for us to have our ego. Everything else operates within the natural laws and the perfection of creation. We're the only ones that are able to be outside of that. And when we can kind of let that sink in, you realize what a crazy opportunity we have here to do something right, to do something good, and to go through the experiences. And it's not about being perfect. We're not perfect. God knows we're not perfect. But we're here to experience that. So chew on that for a little while. Very, very crazy concepts that they've been bringing my way. And, yeah, they shake everybody's ground. They're just, this is stuff that has to come through. And for the longest time, my ego said, Nicole, you're nobody to do this, and nobody's going to listen to you. And I thought, well, you know, maybe. But there was a part of me that was so compelled to open my mouth that often at times I'd find myself talking and not realize I know I said what I said. And I realized it was because my soul decided this is my job here. So once my ego got on board with it, everybody was operating in the same level. And I've gotten to that place now where everything's kind of, it flows. I'm not fighting things anymore. So one of the signs that your ego and your soul, your higher self, are sort of happy and acting as complementary to each other is synchronicities. You know, you'll find that you make a decision that not only appears to be logical, but also feels very right within yourself. And then the next thing will happen very, very quickly. When you engage both of these parts of yourself, the ego and the spirit, things flow much, much more easily. And it's within recognizing that everything is perfect already without you having to manipulate it, but just step into the flow, that we really start to recognize and become who we are and see who we are. So that's my piece for today. I have about 6 minutes left, and I had a caller, but they dropped off because probably they realized I wasn't going to be doing any readings today. Teaching is really what my purpose is. It's not necessarily just, you know, doing readings. Can I do those things? Yes. But I've asked about that too. And the answer that I got is that it's much more important for me to help everyone else do it. It's much more important for me to help you. And not everyone out there is going to be able to read for other people or for everyone. But you can get your own guidance and you can connect to your higher self and you can start becoming more whole and not compartmentalized. We have a tendency to compartmentalize here and it's not healthy for us. It makes us less of who we can be. And it's so crazy because it's all there, but we just don't see it, you know. Sometimes people will ask about, you know, spirits, and they'll say, you know, how do you not notice that? Or how do you not talk to them when they're there? Because they're always there. You know, I walk by my TV, and if it's not on, I don't look at it because it's always there. You have to turn that on switch on or at least focus on it to engage and know that, you know, you want to talk to, just the same way you don't want to talk to someone that is here, that you, if they're bothering you or if they're in your space, you don't have to talk to spirits. I mean, yes, they kind of control the session when you do open up to them a little bit, but you do have the right to say no, you know, turning off is one of those big topics that I probably should get into in a future show, because a lot of people have issues with that. It's like, and one of the things that I found too is with the reconnective healing. Reconnective healing does, it reconnects you to, as it's told to me by Eric Pearl and the people I learned it from, it reconnects you to the fullness of yourself. And with that comes the gifts of psychic awareness. People that I've worked on, their psychic awareness goes very, very way up. It's, I don't know how to explain it. And I don't know all of the people that I've worked on. I don't see regularly, but the people that I know outside of the treatment room, I've seen it. So reconnection. It's about reconnecting ourselves to the fullness of who we really are and allowing that to happen. So if anyone's interested in a reconnective healing session, you can find me at Nicole Quinn, NicoleQuinn.com And that is my website for my work, which is outside of the spirit realm for the most part. It's more like massage, essential oils, but it does work with the energy system. And I do the reconnective healing. I also do Reiki for those of you who are more comfortable or more familiar with Reiki. Reconnective healing far transcends what Reiki can do, but Reiki does still have its place, and if that's where you're comfortable, I still offer those sessions as well. But I also offer readings, which no one's been really brave enough to kind of come into my digs and say, you know, I need a reading. It might be the climate of San Antonio, I don't know. But I put it out there, and if you are interested in a reading and you're in the San Antonio area, all you need to do is just make an appointment and book the time. No one is going to judge you. When you come in, it's a salon. No one's going to be like, oh, do you want this, that? It's not like that. It's not high pressure. There's not going to be a lot of like weird people or, you know, people with crystal balls or any of that stuff. It's very normal. So if you're interested in that, but you have an issue with people knowing that that's what you want to do, of course, I'm going to know when you step into my room. But just book the time. Hi, I'd like to book an hour with Nicole at this time on this day, period. That's it. No one has to know anything that you do. You just have to be, you know, open and willing and take that first step. So do that, and we can have a reading just in my little office. You might have to sit on the massage table, but other than that, it won't be weird. You know, San Antonio is an interesting place. There's a lot of people that are very, very religious, but I have sensed and seen a lot of people that are interested in other things or that feel that there's more than what they were told, and there is, but the problem is that belief system. You get stuck in it. And then you get afraid if something challenges it. Or just like I was talking about last week, people are afraid, or it might be in my blog, people are afraid when they see someone do something outside of the box because it threatens their belief system. And what ends up happening is they see you doing something different, and then it makes them question, oh, my God, you know, they're doing this. I'm not doing that. What am I doing something wrong? Did they know something I don't? And see, so this is the ego part of us that once we start getting those answers from within ourselves instead of outside ourselves, looking at everybody else around us and seeing what they're doing and then judging us ourselves based on that, you can finally start to get to that place where it doesn't threaten you anymore. You might have the initial thought, but you'll check with yourself and you'll see that you're exactly where you need to be and you don't have to worry about anything. We make ourselves crazy. There's really no need to do it. They're asking in the chat room if I'm in San Antonio. Yes, I actually live in San Antonio, but I'm originally from Boston, which, you know, explains the attitude. Not a lot of people down here in San Antonio can really understand where I'm coming from sometimes, so it's been kind of a challenge. But people are getting used to me. I'm shaking up the system, I can tell you that. So I just want to leave you all with the thought. That thought for the week, you know, to integrate your ego with your spirit and to try to find ways to let them work with each other and not against each other. So everyone, please have a wonderful, safe week until I see you next week. And as always, I want you to walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste, and I will see you all next week. Thanks.